The title of this morning's address is From Darkness into Light. And I just chose this because at this time of the year, the days are getting darker and darker. But the 21st of December, light will begin to reassert itself. Advent is the countdown to the celebration of Christmas. In the Roman Catholic Church, Advent is designated as a time of prayer and fasting. But fasting is not encouraged in the Reformed churches, and in the Catholic Church, it has almost died out. And yet, fasting has a proven record within every spiritual tradition. Aside from its spiritual benefits, fasting is good for the body. It brings us into the present moment. It sharpens the mind. It wakes us up. Just imagine if we were to observe a 4-week fast in December. Can we imagine the heightened pleasure of the first taste of Christmas food on the 25th of December? It would taste beautiful. The tradition of the Advent wreath originated in Germany in the 1800s. When a pastor built a wreath out of an old cartwheel to help the children count the days till Christmas. And since then, traditions have built around that wreath. The 5 candles, there's 3 violet, 1 pink, and 1 white. The violet ones are lit first, then the pink one on the last Sunday of Advent, and the white one is lit on Christmas Day. 4 of the candles represent hope, love, joy, and peace. Hope, love, joy, and peace are beautiful words. They'll be printed on millions of Christmas cards sent out this year. But often the sentiments become lost in the rush days that lead up to Christmas. They are lost because so many of us believe that hope, joy, peace, and love are to be found outside of ourselves. When we shop, when we party, when we buy into the advertiser's version of the perfect Christmas, we are looking for those gifts of hope, love, joy, and peace. But I think the words have become buried in cynicism about the actual truth of the Christmas story. And much of the joy of the season is becoming lost because our senses are jaded. They're jaded because the foods that were once a treat enjoyed only at Christmas are available all the year round. Just think of a time when strawberries were available in the season for strawberries and how amazing they tasted. And think if you go in Christmas Eve, there are strawberries in the shop. They taste awful. But we buy into it because we want. The Buddhists say you can't enjoy tomorrow's glass of water today. But we are being offered December, the 25th glass of water since last October. You know, have the mince pies, have the chocolates, party. We are ambivalent about Christmas because we are constantly being shown an unrealistic version of Christmas. This is one where Christmas is perfect. Homes are filled with family members who never squabble. A perfect feast appears on the table without a red-faced cook or exhausted housewife in sight. No one is tired from trudging to the shops in the crowds trying to buy gifts. And even the snow is permanently fluffy and white. And of course, that version of Christmas is as fake as the fake snow in the pictures. But of course, the good news is, being Unitarians, We reserve the right to live Christmas on our terms and celebrate it. Because humanity has celebrated this time of year long before the Christmas story came into being. This is when we celebrate the journey from darkness into light. So this time of the year has a very special magic and nothing to do with elves or fairies. Hope, love, joy, and peace are not external conditions that happen outside of us. We are the creators of that hope, love, joy, and peace. The season itself has so much good in it, I think that it's easy to make it wonderful. I always love the thought that Christmas, we do think about other people. It concerns us that somebody is hungry at Christmas. It concerns us that people are sad at Christmas. It is good. And nature and tradition tells us that this time of the year is a time to celebrate. Einstein said that we have a choice. We can think that nothing is a miracle, or we can look at the world and say everything is a miracle. And one of nature's greatest miracles is the miracle of the seasons that we enjoy. Since midsummer, since the 24th of June, each day the daylight has become shorter by just minutes. Now, when you see that happen at the end of June, you'd never notice 2 minutes daylight disappearing. However, when the reverse happens and you get 2 minutes extra daylight, you notice it. Light always supersedes darkness. And from the 21st of December, that process will reverse. The days will become longer by very short amounts, to about 2 minutes a day. But it happens, and gradually the days will lengthen. Daylight increases. And we know that spring will come again. But we understand the mechanics of the solar system. Our ancestors didn't have that knowledge. They feared that the world would become dark permanently. So they celebrated the rebirth of the sun, and that's the sun in the sky, not the S-O-N. So our DNA feels the call to celebrate that miracle. You know, it's not something that's imposed on it. It feels right. These are the days of dark days and long shadows. As if to mimic the long shadows of nature, Christmas time magnifies our emotions. Joys are enhanced, but sorrows are also highlighted. The darkness seems to increase worries. It diminishes our optimism. And for some people, these effects are very real. They affect their mental well-being. That's called seasonal affective disorder. So we do need to care for ourselves in the days of darkness. Thich Nhat Hanh, that Buddhist monk, said that we should nourish ourselves with the seeds of joy each day. That's how we look after ourselves. Nourish ourselves with the seeds of joy each day. As children, we were taught that to look after our own happiness was selfish, and so it was wrong. But that is not true. We know that we can only share with others what we have ourselves. If we don't have joy and love and peace in our lives, we can't share them with anyone. And like happiness, all those things come to us indirectly. We can't buy joy. It's impossible to construct peace. So we have to concentrate on things that encourage these things. We can't stop the war in Ukraine. As individuals, of course we can't. But we can do things to promote peace. It may be joining in a peace protest. It may be as simple as writing to an embassy. It could be contributing to the support of refugees. The thing about hope and optimism, the moment you do something, the moment you take action, hope and optimism grows. When we look at the world, we can see everything that is wrong with it. You know, we're living at a time of inflation when people have financial worries. There's war in Europe. There's famine in many parts of the world. There are more people in need of refuge than after the Second World War. During the week, the United Nations said they need $50 billion to just support those who are starving. So the world has its problems, but even in the presence of those challenges, we can concentrate on the challenges and what is wrong, or we can look at the miracles that still surround us. It is our responsibility to do things to alleviate suffering. We must recognize our limitations. We can't save the world. We can't change it. All we can change is our mindset. But if we do that, we will think and feel differently. During the week, I was doing some research for this, and I listened to a TED talk about hope. It was delivered by somebody who had come through an amazingly testing time, and he was the most hopeful person you could meet. He said when he was just a teenager, his parents were arrested for political reasons and put in jail, and his elderly grandparents lived with the family. So suddenly, overnight, he went from being the teenager to being head of the household. It turned out the family as a whole had the equivalent of about 20 euro in finances. But the family did survive and came through the experience without losing hope. And he said that the secret is to be honest with everyone involved. Then do everything in your power to solve the problem. And when you know you have done everything you could do, you let it go. I think that must be one of the hardest things to do, is to let it go. The worries, the things that keep you awake at night. Most of our discontent comes from not letting go or in trying to inhabit the future. This time of the year, watching the light is a wonderful exercise in living in the present moment. Instead of seeing only the darkness of these days, look at the light. Notice the play of light on the ground. Notice the shapes of the trees, how every tree has a different shape and every tree is balanced. Put food out for the birds and watch them eat. Make peace with yourself and the life you have now. Do what you can to increase the happiness in the world, and then let go. Live each moment. Do what you can to mend your relationships if they're broken. And nourish yourself with the seeds of joy each day. Live in the moment. Christmas will come in its time. The days will grow longer. New Year will come. But let it happen in its time. Don't rush ahead. Enjoy the journey from darkness into light. Amen.